And yes, even God's order for stable, non-fluctuating money. Perhaps you didn't know that God had anything to say about that in His Bible, but He has. I have also reproduced in the back part of the book many of these quotes. John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Andrew Jackson, James Madison, Salmon P. Chase, Secretary of Treasury under Lincoln, John C. Calhoun, Abraham Lincoln, James Garfield, Horace Greeley, Senator Charles Lindbergh, who's the father of Colonel Lindbergh, Thomas Edison, President Woodrow Wilson said, quote, "A great industrial nation is controlled by its system of credit. Our system of credit is concentrated. The growth of the nation and all our activities are in the hands of a few men. We have come to be one of the worst ruled, one of the most completely controlled and dominated governments in the world. No longer a government of free opinion, no longer a government by conviction and vote of the majority, but a government by the opinion and duress of small groups of dominant men." Now, that man said that back in 1917, over 50 years ago. Henry Ford Sr. wrote, "It is well enough that the people of the nation do not understand our banking and monetary system, for if they did, I believe there would be a revolution before tomorrow morning." Thomas Edison is quoted in here because he knew, of course, about the money system. This book, Coming Soon, America Without Debt, Crime, or War, as far as I know, is one of the few books in America on the money system showing it from Bible prophecy. Now, I made a statement just a few moments ago that the manipulators of the world currency and the money in America are the cause and planners of all wars. Turn with me to Revelation 18 for verification that this world economic system called Mystery Babylon in Revelation 17 is the cause of the death of all people killed in war. As we read God's prophecy of her destruction in Revelation 18, we find that in verse 15, "The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing." Yes, the multi-billionaires of the world who have been made rich by this money manipulation and control are going to cry and weep, just as it says in James 5, when they see her destroyed, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on her heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich." You see, this great city, which is described in Revelation 16, verse 18, as that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth, makes these people rich by the use of her merchandise. And her merchandise is gold and silver and money and trade by ships in the sea. World trade. These men are able today, as some of you people in the Northwest might know, to buy the logs from Washington, Oregon, and British Columbia, ship them by sea to Japan, have the Japanese, with their low labor, make it up into plywood and send it back to America and sell it in America and make more money than if they paid American workers to make the plywood. You'll soon find this is going to be true of good things. We'll buy cotton in America, sell it to China, buy the finished product over there where the slaves work for the equivalent of $1.80 a month. Yes, $1.80 a month, and send it back to the free world and sell it for less and make more money on it than they could by having it done in America. And here God shows in this revelation to John that these world traders are going to cry and weep and howl because of destruction of this world system. Then in the last verse of Revelation 18, as Babylon is completely destroyed, God says, "And in her was found the blood of prophets, and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth." Yes, the multi-billionaire world financiers who control all nations through manipulation of money are the cause, are the planners, and the people who carry out all wars. The American people had no quarrel with the Vietnamese people. The Vietnamese people had no quarrel with America. And yet, through manipulation of the news media, government, and money, the American people have been fooled into allowing their young sons to die 10,000 miles away in the process of killing tens of thousands of Vietnamese people, to no advantage of the Vietnamese and no advantage of the Americans. The advantage all lies in the hands and the debts we have now placed upon ourselves to the international multi-billionaire bankers. Here are more quotes from my book, Coming Soon. Sir Josiah Stemp, president of the Bank of England in the 1920s and the second richest man in Britain. Quote, "Banking was conceived in iniquity and was born in sin. The bankers own the earth. Take it away from them, but leave them the power to create deposits, and with the flick of the pen, they will create enough deposits to buy it back again. However, take that away from them, and all the great fortunes like mine will disappear, and they ought to disappear, for this would be a happier and better world to live in. But if you wish to remain the slaves of the bankers and pay the cost of your own slavery, let them continue to create deposits." Congressman Lewis McFadden, on the floor of the House of Representatives in 1934, quote, "The Federal Reserve Banks are one of the most corrupt institutions the world has ever seen. There is not a man within the sound of my voice who does not know that this nation is run by the international bankers." This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. Next week, I believe we will take the entire broadcast, or most of it, to study God's laws on money. I do hope and pray that some of the things that I have said have shown you that if there is any answer in God's Word for the problems of this people and this nation, and in fact this creation of man upon the earth, there must be an answer about money and trade and debt. And there is, and we will read about it next week, Lord willing. Pastor Robert Record of Los Angeles is another minister, one of the very few in America who know about this debt money system and have the courage to speak on it. Pastor Record goes with me every year to Washington, D.C., and we spend 2 weeks in Washington talking to congressmen about the Bible and America. Before I went last year, I preached a sermon in my church, which is on tape, and you may have a copy of it by writing to me. The title of the sermon is Warning of Judgment, and it's about the warning, the message of warning we took to the members of the House of Representatives and the Senators, that America was going to suffer terribly unless they, as the leaders of this nation, began to use God's Bible, God's Word, God's law, statutes, and judgments, and obey the great God Almighty, not only on money, but on all of our relationships with other nations. Warning of Judgment. After I came back from Washington, D.C., I preached a sermon titled, America Needs a Christian Government. America Needs a Christian Government. Both of these sermons are approximately 45 minutes long and are available on one 90-minute cassette for an offering of $2.50 or more. You can send that offering of $2.50 to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. Just address your letter to me and tell me you want the two sermons about Washington, D.C. The titles are Warning of Judgment, America Needs a Christian Government. I am sure you will receive a blessing from them. I am offering them at this time because I will soon be making my annual trip to Washington, D.C. with Pastor Record. Occasionally, we have had other ministers and men with us, but on a consistent basis, Pastor Record and I am sorry to say, are the only two ministers in the nation who go to the Congress of the United States with the Bible and tell them, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, some preachers and some organizations may say, well, we are violating the separation of church and state. No, we are not going there to try to convince them of some church doctrine. We are going there to tell them, "Thus saith the Lord." And that is part of the ministry of God's church. The prophets of old always went to the kings and the princes as well as to the people. The tragedy of Christianity in America today is that most ministers think that all they're supposed to do is save souls and get people ready for heaven, while the people are in the process of being destroyed on this earth. And hardly a minister raises a hand or says a word about it. Of course, that in itself is scriptural, for the 10th chapter of Isaiah is a prophecy of this money system of robbery. And God says of these millionaire bankers to the prophet Isaiah that they have robbed their treasures and have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. And the world money power says, "And my hand hath found as a nest the riches of the people, and as one gathereth eggs that are left, have I gathered all the earth. And there was none that moved the wing, or opened the mouth, or peeped." You read chapter 10 of Isaiah. He's talking about the world money power that robbed the treasures of the people of the earth. And by the way, that chapter and quite a few other chapters are discussed at length in my book, coming soon, America Without Debt, Crime, or War. You write for the books. No offering needed for those, but we would appreciate an offering of $2.50 or more for the two sermons on the 90-minute cassette, the sermons Warning of Judgment, the message that we took to the congressman, and then the sermon I preached when I returned home, America Needs a Christian Government. This is Pastor Emery. Until next week when I return, Lord willing, goodbye. God bless you and Christian America.
We now present America's Promise with Pastor Sheldon Emery, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ, His kingdom, and Bible truths about America and the world in Bible prophecy. This program is presented to make you think upon, study, and believe God's Word. And now, Pastor Emery.
Thank you. Money and the Mark of the Beast. We have taken the title of this rather short three-broadcast series from Revelation 13, where there is a prophecy in symbolism and vision of a beast or beast system that would rise in the end of the age and rule the earth. And verse 16 and 17 say, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." I hope during the last two broadcasts you have caught a glimpse of this system being established and fastened upon our people at a time when the ministers are giving no warning whatsoever. In fact, we find the very opposite to be true. Actually, many of the ministers, the denominations and the evangelists are actually publishing and writing material which hides from the people the truth that we are under the control of that beast system prophesied in the book of Revelation and also by the prophet. As an example of one manner of hiding this from the people, I hear much preaching telling that in the future, after the Christians are gone, there will be a great Antichrist who will rise and who will set up a system so that no one can buy or sell unless they have a number tattooed on their forehead. I've heard ministers preach on this for years, but now they have gone further. They have actually written a new Bible in which they say that. Some of you may or may not know about a book called The Living Bible. Here's verse 16 in this book, The Living Bible. "He required everyone, great and small, rich and poor, slave and free, to be tattooed with a certain mark on the right hand or on the forehead." Of course, if you read that in this Living Bible, you would assume that this had not come to pass until the government or some agency of the government went around and started tattooing numbers on people's foreheads. No, this phrase in Revelation 13 means in your mind. That phrase is used several times in the scripture. It doesn't mean a physical, visible number on your forehead. But as long as they can deceive you and think this has not come to pass until the number is tattooed on your forehead, you will go right on living under this system and not even know you are living under that system. I am offering two books in our March packet of literature written by me, one a 16-page tract titled Billions for the Bankers Brings War, Taxes, and Debt for the People, and the second one, 104 pages, Coming Soon, America Without Debt, Crime, or War. As soon as I give you the address where you can write and obtain these for free for the asking, I'm going to read two pages in the larger book about bank credit cards and show you that they fit the prophecy of the mark of the beast. So you listen to the address first and then you listen to the two pages about bank credit cards. You can have these two publications on money by writing to me, Pastor Emery, at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. The box number is 5334. The zip code is 85010. All right, here is page 24 and 25 of my book, Coming Soon, America Without Debt, Crime, or War, under the subtitle, Bank Credit Cards. Quote, the fastest growing scheme to take more of the people's earnings from them is the issuance of so-called bank credit cards. The sensational propaganda boosting these as the greatest benefit since the invention of money, and even advertised as better than money, is a colossal deception. Millions of people are using them even for small purchases, and hundreds of thousands of merchants have agreed to finance their sales in this manner by the use of bank credit cards. What the average consumer does not realize is the fact that every time he makes a purchase with a bank credit card, the banker gets an average of 5% of that transaction directly from the retailer. It is the same as a sales tax, except that the 5% goes to the privately owned banks and not to the government. Here again, the bankers make a profit by providing money, which they create on their books in the manner which we explained in preceding chapters. And I should add, I explained in the previous chapter that the banks create money out of nothing. They create the money at no cost to themselves and then lend it to you for interest. I go on reading about bank credit cards. If the state or local governments were to impose an additional 5% sales tax on retail sales, the people would rise up in righteous indignation and organize a protest. But the bankers, under the guise that this is a service, can and do impose it. They know that no politician or newspaper will expose it. With the birth of the bank credit card, bankers became paid partners in every retail business which accepts these cards for payment, and the bankers will collect additional billions of dollars from the American people every year. State sales taxes, at least, are used to pay for roads, buildings, welfare, and other state services, whereas the bankers provide none of these, but use the money to increase their own wealth. In their plans towards the goal to make all mankind work for them, bankers are now developing a system whereby no cash will be used at all, all purchases being made by means of credit cards or similar charging devices. Whatever the form may be that they devise, they will continue to increase the banker's share. The Truth in Lending Law of 1969 is a glaring example of things to come. It has been promoted as a law to help protect the borrower. Actually, it is designed to force all retailers to turn to bank credit cards. The law requires that those extending credit must fill out elaborate and specially designed forms on each credit transaction, giving one copy to the customer, retaining the other in the retailer's files. It also provides that the customer may cancel the purchase within 72 hours. However, the law exempts purchases made with bank credit cards from these provisions. To protect himself from technical violations which carry heavy legal penalties and from cancellations, and for simplicity, the small retailer will be forced to make his credit sales through bank credit cards. This is another example of the complete cooperation of the government with the interests of the bankers. The system they are now developing is perhaps best described in Bible prophecy as the beast system, quote, and he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Revelation 13, 16 and 17. It is amazing how many preachers read that scripture but never show its relation to the present evil banking system and its future plans. In a strictly cashless society, all people would be subject to the whim of the bankers of that society, regulating whether they would have credit to buy even food. No more satanic scheme could be devised for the control of an entire nation or of the world. Yet we hear no warning from politicians nor from the clergy. End of quote from my article on bank credit cards in my book, Coming Soon, America Without Debt, Crime, or War. You realize from the title, of course, that I wrote this book to show the end of this system, not just to show you how the system operates. Let me repeat again, you can obtain that book by writing to me, Pastor Emery, at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. The zip code is 85010. And I want to remind you again about this book called The Living Bible, which is actually a deception in which they have changed this to read that this will come to pass when they tattoo a certain mark on the right hand or on the forehead. If any of my listeners would be interested in learning more about this abominable book called The Living Bible, you might want to write to me and get tape-recorded copies of previous radio broadcasts. I have a 5-day-a-week, 15-minute-a-day broadcast heard on other stations, stations where we are not on this 30-minute, once-a-week program. And just recently, in a Bible study on another subject, I spent 4 days showing how many verses of Scripture have been changed in this so-called Living Bible to hide the true meaning of God's Word. They have added whole sentences and phrases. They have changed names. They have changed words. It is almost unbelievable to read it and compare it to the King James Bible. But, of course, a great host of young people do not know the King James Bible, and they will receive copies of this Living Bible and will never have read God's true Word. Billy Graham, who is probably one of the best-known evangelists in America, is offering anyone a free copy of the Living Bible. All they have to do is write to him. People have asked me in recent years how I thought the Antichrist would get the Word of God away from the people. I did not know, but I felt that if they ever came and physically tried to remove the Bible from our possession, our people would fight. So I guess the Antichrist knows that also. So instead of removing our Bibles from us, they are printing and giving away new books that they call the Bible, which are rewritten to hide God's Word. I have a news article here in a printing trade publication that says Billy Graham just recently printed 1.25 million of these Bibles. It took 2 months of continuous running to consume the 25 carloads of Huron featherweight paper. This book, erroneously called the Living Bible, is being promoted or given away by a great host of evangelicals and ministers, and I warn my listeners, stay away from it. If you want to know more about it, write to me, send an offering of some kind, and ask for the tape-recorded copies of my 4 radio broadcasts, 15 minutes each, about an hour, showing you the corrupted words and corrupted text of the so-called Living Bible. You can get that by writing to the same address, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. In my book, Coming Soon, America Without Debt, Crime, or War, I show how this system has developed, how it is being operated today, and what will happen when God moves upon our people to turn us back to the Bible. Here are the chapters. And then I want to finish this broadcast on God's law. There are 12 chapters in the book. The first one is titled Trouble and Money. Chapter 2, Depression and War. Chapter 3, People Control or People Controlled. Millions for the bankers and debts for the people. Learn or continue to pay. Why you haven't known. Mammon rules the nation, and remember that Christ said you cannot serve God and mammon, And I have a chapter in here showing that Mammon rules America today. Chapter 8, the constitutional way. Chapter 9, God's law. Chapter 10, a debt-free America. 11, money traffickers. And chapter 12, tell the people. There are also 16 separate appendix in here with additional articles of explanation. But to show you that this is not just something that Pastor Emery says, that the international financiers are taking over America, we have reproduced in the book a number of newspaper articles. Once in a while, information is in there that shows us what is actually happening in America. In 1968, there was a symposium of people in Washington, D.C., speaking on bigness in America. William L. Carey, chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission under President Kennedy, said that banking interests are following investment policies akin to those of the 1920s. Quote, American industry is beginning to be taken over by financial people exclusively through leverage techniques and without any program except acquisition. At the same meeting, Adolf Burrell, Columbia professor emeritus and one of the original members of President Roosevelt's brain trust, said that business is entering on a new and perhaps crucial phase, citing a growing concentration of wealth in a relatively few corporations and a small number of financial institutions which stand behind them. Burrell estimated that institutional investors can have working control of American industry anytime they care to use their power. That's only a very small part of the book, but this shows you that this is happening. America is being conquered by the financial controllers. Before we talk about God's law, I want to read you Deuteronomy 28, where God told the children of Israel that if they refused to obey His laws, statutes, and judgments, these things would happen to them. Deuteronomy 28, among other things, verse 43 and 44. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. All right, let's discuss some of those things that we apparently are disobeying insofar that God has allowed alien peoples to now take control of our nation. In the Bible following the Ten Commandments, God gave Moses several hundred commandments, statutes, and judgments which make up God's law for government and individuals. In Exodus 22, God exhorted Israel about the relationship between people. He told them in verse 21 and 22 not to oppress any stranger or afflict any widow or fatherless child. And then he speaks on the lending of money. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as an usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. And the word usury simply means interest or increase. Any increase is called usury. This is expanded in Leviticus 25, verses 35 through 37. And if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then shalt thou relieve or help him, yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. Very simple statement of God's law. In Deuteronomy 23, God says he would bless them if they did not charge usury. Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thine hand to in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Now, if you read that in the negative, it's obvious that if God's people charged interest on money, God would not bless them in the land they were going to. Psalm 15 asks the question, Lord, who shall be in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Part of the answer, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. In Jeremiah 15, Jeremiah declared his righteousness by saying that he had never charged usury. Verse 10. Ezekiel wrote that if a man did that which is lawful and right, he would not charge usury. Ezekiel 18, verse 8. And he declares of the usurer, the person who charges usury, in verse 13, he shall not live. He hath done all those abominations. He shall surely die. In other words, people who charge interest on money according to Ezekiel, according to God's word, if you please, are to be put to death. The death penalty for lending money at interest. Yet today there is hardly a Christian church in the nation that condemns the taking of this unjust gain. God told Israel in old Canaan land that he would scatter thee among the heathen and disperse thee in the country. And one of the reasons given in Ezekiel 22, verses 12 through 15, for God driving Israel out of old Canaan land was this, and you listen, in thee have they taken gifts to shed blood, thou hast taken usury and increase, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion, and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord God. And Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 10:11 that these things happen to them for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. God told Israel that he would drive them out of the land if they charged interest. One of the most tragic errors taught from today's Christian pulpit is that these laws are no longer in effect. But Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. That's in verse 17. If you'll read verses 18 and 19, you'll find that Christ said that those who taught and did those commandments would be greatest in the kingdom of God. From this and from the other scriptures, we know that the new covenant was written to put, and here's a quote, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their heart. What laws? Well, God's laws, statutes and judgments, including the law, that thou shalt not lend upon usury, and even Ezekiel's statement, that a man who does has done these abominations, and he shall surely die. In Luke 6, Christ specifically told his followers they were not to lend for reward or gain, but to be merciful. Luke 6, verse 34 through 36. Jesus said in John 14, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And John wrote, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Martin Luther, the great light of the Reformation in Europe, and other reformers of his day taught no such nonsense that God's laws were not to be obeyed. Luther compared the taking of usury with theft and murder, as the scripture does, and by the way, I have that reproduced in my book. It takes a whole page in the book where Luther said of the usurer that he justly ought to hang on the gallows. Yes, Martin Luther, a Christian, if you please. From the Reformation era to within the last 100 years, many Christian denominations, even in America, refused church membership to anyone who loaned money at interest. Today, the churches not only condone this ungodly evil, but practice it themselves, telling you that if you'll give large sums of money to them, they'll pay you interest on it. Our entire financial system is based and established on the disobedience of these commandments in God's Word. Our ministers tell us we need not obey these commandments, and the result is debt, usury, bondage for our people, and the threatened destruction of our nation. And coming upon America is the very identical thing that God said would come upon the house of Israel if they refuse to obey his laws, statutes, and judgments. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. During England's several hundred years march toward personal liberty, the lending of money at interest was declared illegal by her kings. In the 10th century, usurers had their land forfeited to the crown. In the 11th century, in addition, the usurer was declared an outlaw and was banished from England. Up through the 15th century, the punishment in England varied from forfeiture of all property to the putting to death of lenders of money at interest. By the 18th century, the turning away from biblical law had led to the establishment of usury as a legal claim, and by the 19th century, England had passed into the control of the moneylenders. 800 years of upward struggle and thrust to personal liberty and national prosperity has been all but destroyed in England in the last 100 years by the bankers' wars, usury, and taxes. America, sad to say, and our brethren in Canada are following in England's footsteps because we disobey God's laws on interest. Our bankers' dictatorship would collapse without their ungodly usury, yet American ministers are silent on this iniquity. Ezekiel wrote, "There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean." Ezekiel 22, verse 25 through 26. Our people do not know the difference between right and wrong because the ministers who have the custody of God's Word simply are not teaching God's Word. Although usury is forbidden in the Bible, God's law commands that we lend to a brother who needs money or food or clothing. Deuteronomy 15, verses 7 through 10. But to prevent unpayable debts from accumulating, at the year of the Sabbath, every seventh year, any balance owing was to be canceled and forgiven. Deuteronomy 15 gives the law. At the end of every 7 years thou shalt make a release, and this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner or an alien thou mayest exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother shall thine hand release, save when, or the margin says, to the end that there shall be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Just think, twice God says he will bless the land, once if we will not charge usury, and the second time if we will cancel all debts at the end of every 7 years. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. My time is almost gone. I have not had a chance to discuss God's law on gold and on silver or on stable money. Micah has much to write about that. You might want to read Micah the 6th and 7th chapter. Also, Amos in the 8th chapter. These are all discussed at length in my chapters on God's law, and also such things as Ezekiel 7. Speaking of the end of the age, they shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord, because what? Because the gold and the silver is the stumbling block of their iniquity. The control of the gold supply of the world by these international bankers has been used to fluctuate and control the currencies of the world, not for the good of the people, but for the enrichment of the bankers. The wise King Solomon, whose kingdom was considered the wealthiest and most prosperous in the Bible, did the exact opposite. For we read in 2 Chronicles 1:15 that Solomon made silver and gold at Jerusalem as plenteous as stones. It was not hoarded and kept from the people. And that is explained at great length in my book. Also on stable money, and the year of Jubilee, the cancellation of all debts, the forfeiture of all property that has been gotten through illegal means is returned back to the people. There's a great day coming in America. I have one entire chapter about the Liberty Bell and the cancellation of all debts. Leviticus 25 gives the year of Jubilee, and on our Liberty Bell is part of that law. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. That day is soon coming. Brother, sister, you believe it. And write to me at America's Promise for my book, Coming Soon, America Without Debt, Crime, or War. Praise ye the Lord. Next week, Lord willing, we'll begin a Bible study on another subject. Until then, goodbye. God bless you and Christian America.